today as we come to the table.
God put the pillars in place. We make sure the pillars are there. The first pillar is the teaching of the Word of God. Then your job is to avail that. You need to come and be fed. Make sure that you're getting fed in those teachings. If you're not getting fed and you're not feeding on your own, you're never going to grow. The church should be feeding you. And I love to hear pastors. I get fed as well. But I need to be able to go home and eat. You need to be able to go home and eat. And if you can't go home and pick up the Bible on your own and sit down and read the Word of God, you're not going to grow. And again, I've seen believers that seem to be stuck in kind of this non-growth pattern for years and years and years. You know, a diaper is not so annoying in a baby. It's just that's life.
Many Christians tend to fall into a routine of going to church, soaking in the pastor's message, and then drifting away from the Word of God for the rest of the week. It's kind of like indulging in a feast on Sundays while feeling famished the rest of the week. In today's message, Pastor Mark encourages you to keep your feet planted in God's Word each and every day. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. As you dive into meditating on His Word, you'll begin to uncover the incredible journey God has laid out for you. He'll reveal the steps you need to take to bring that plan to life. All you've got to do is meditate on His Word daily and grow in your relationship with God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 2, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Acts chapter 2. As we finish the book, we'll finish the second chapter of Acts. Not quite the book today. We won't be here that long, I promise. But the end of chapter 2, you'll see churches that are growing and going are the ones that are applying this. Churches that are not are those that are not applying the principles. And I don't know if sometimes they're not understood or sometimes they're simply not being applied, whatever the case might be. Our job here as leadership is to make sure that we put these pillars in place, and then your job is to be a part of that. Now, again, it's interesting, as we get into this today and we start looking at these four pillars and what the church is supposed to be, God does hold the pastor and the elders and the leadership responsible to put those in place, but then God also holds you responsible to plug in and be a part of those pillars. And if you don't plug in and become a part of those pillars, you're not going to grow, you're not going to benefit from that, and you're going to find that you are not walking the way that God wants you to walk as a believer as well. So again, we'll look at these building blocks, and we'll see in these building blocks why the early church was so successful, and again, I believe will lead to any church successfully today. And let me just say this, I'm not talking about numbers. You know, trying to see if a church is successful or not, it's not whether or not it's growing in numbers or whether or not there's a lot of people at the services. That's, you know, that's a marker. It could be of a number of things. If you have a very charismatic speaker or you have something that draws the crowds and whatever it might be, but there's nothing really going on spiritually that's leading to fruit, then it doesn't really matter. What matters is, what is the outcome? What is the fruit? And if you want solid fruit or outcome for the Lord and for His kingdom, these four pillars have to be in place. And so that's where we jump into it today. Let's jump right in. Again, remember kind of backtracking. Last, we saw Peter standing up and giving this message. The Holy Spirit was poured out. The church was born. And again, we see how the Holy Spirit was making it so clear that it was all Him. I think what a great statement this was made by the Holy Spirit at the very beginning of the church, that it's all Him, because nobody planned this evangelistic outreach. Peter certainly had not spent hours and days and weeks in study for this. It was suddenly thrust upon them. God poured out His Spirit. Crowds of people were there. They went outside. Peter began to speak, and 3,000 people got saved. I would call that a successful outreach. Again, without any planning whatsoever. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan today. We're responsible to do that. What it means is, I believe the Holy Spirit was showing He's the one that brings about the success in any church. But again, our responsibility is to put the foundation in place so that God can work and make it successful. I remember when we brought our first daughter home, you know, we got the room all ready. We did this for all of them, but we already had the supplies after the first one. But we got the room all ready. Everything's prepared. We had to make the room ready as parents so the baby could come there and thrive. And that's what God expects the leadership of any church to do. Get the place ready so that the body of Christ can thrive. Now, again, that's our part. Your part is jump in and get involved so you can thrive. And so let's jump into these pillars, see what they are, and we'll talk about each one of these building blocks for the church as we cover them. Notice, first of all, after this happened, after the 3,000 were saved, it kind of jumps from verse 41 to 42. We don't know how long this was, but again, no doubt there's days here because now they're beginning normal life. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, these are the four foundational things we're going to look at today. But before we break them down individually, the first thing I want you to notice is how they dealt with these four foundational building blocks. They continued in them steadfastly. And that is, they didn't just do it half-hearted. They said, all right, here's what God has shown us we need to do. We're not only going to do it with all of our heart, we're going to continue steadfastly. We're going to carry this on. And I think that a church that starts this way can be very successful. A believer that starts this way can be very successful. But a church that stops being steadfast in these things, or an individual that stops being steadfast in these things, you're going to see your walk with God and the life in God begin to fade. So notice there's a corporate application to all these pillars, and then there's an individual application to all these pillars as well. And that's where we come in as individuals. But we have to be steadfast, and we have to continue if we're going to finish well, as the scripture says, all the way till the end. It's interesting, the words continued steadfastly means literally to be devoted to pay persistent attention to, or to be occupied with diligently. In other words, they were devoted to these principles and persistent in pursuing them. And again, that is why the early church had such success. And again, any church today that follows these same principles will have the same success if they're walking in the Spirit of God. Now, again, it's not the rules, it's not the guidelines as much. They have to be in place, but it's the Spirit of God, and we know that. But you've got to have these guidelines in place for the Spirit of God to operate. And by the way, if you think, wow, wouldn't it be nice to have a church like they had in the early church in Acts and all that? You might be surprised. If you are in a healthy, thriving church, it is like the church in Acts. Now, again, maybe not the flurry of some of the miracles and things that are seen, but it might surprise you to know that if you take the number of years that Acts covered and the amount of time and look at it, it comes out to about one miracle a year. Now, when you read Acts, you see miracle after miracle after miracle. And wow, it's just constantly going. And no doubt at the beginning, there were numerous miracles we see that came in clusters. But again, as the church began to settle, then you would see a miracle occasionally. You'd see this occasionally, whatever the case might be. Doesn't mean that the church wasn't thriving as much. It just means that God's not on a timetable. He moves when he wants to move and how he wants to move. And I look at over the years, all the things that God has done here at Calvary Knoxville. If I was to write those down, I've seen lots of miracles. I've seen lots of things that God has done. If I wrote those down and put them in a book, it would sound like we had a miracle every day at the church. And that's not the case. The bottom line is that when you simply walk with God steadfastly and you have these things in place, you're going to see these things continuing to happen. And indeed, they should continue to happen on a regular basis. Even as we continue steadfastly in them, then God's work will continue steadfastly as we work through them. Notice the first thing here, we'll jump into the very first pillar that they continue steadfastly in was the apostles' doctrine. Now, what was the apostles' doctrine? The Word of God. And how do we know that? Because the Lord used the apostles to write the Bible, the New Testament, along with the apostle that came later, which was Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, two of the Lord's brothers, and then, of course, the disciples that walked with him. So the apostles were the writer of the Bible. So when it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, translated to us, what that means is they continued steadfastly in the study of the Word of God. And that is why their very first and foremost pillar you're going to find here at Calvary Chapel is the Word of God is paramount. The Word of God comes first. That is why we go line by line, verse by verse, through the entire Bible. Now, we pick a book and work through that. We pick a book on Sunday night and work through that. We go through the entire Bible on Wednesday night. We start in Genesis and work all the way to Revelation. So if you're wanting to go through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I encourage you to join us on Wednesday nights. However, I will say this. If you wait to do that, to get through the whole Bible on Wednesday nights, it may take you 7 to 8 years. Because that's how long it took the first time. That's how long it took the second time. And now we're working on our third time through the Bible, and we're up to Ezekiel. And you know, one of the most exciting things for me as a pastor, I used to read, you know, Paul said this. Paul said, I have not shunned to declare to you the entire counsel of God's word. Until I taught through the whole Bible, I wasn't able to say that. And so I was anxious to get to the end that first time through, because I always wanted to be able to say, like Paul, I've given you the entire counsel of God's word. It took the first 7 or 8 years, but after that, I was able to do that, and now I can say I've done that. Now, of course, the church rotates, and people come and go and move and all that, but we keep this kind of continual thing going, and I believe not only is this one of the foundational pillars, This is one of the first and foremost responsibilities of the church, for the church, is to take them through the entire Word of God. Now, there's different ways to do that. We do it line by line, verse by verse, which is the way that I love the most and is why we do it that way. I'm not saying that you can't teach all of the Bible by covering different topics and all. I think that can be done as well. I know different pastors and different churches use different approaches. But here's the bottom line. Every pastor at some point in his ministry should be able to say to his body, I have not shunned to declare to you the entire counsel of God's word. And I believe if a pastor can't say that, that somehow the church has been deficient. That's not trying to judge or whatever. I'm simply saying this is one of the pillars that has to be in place if the church is going to be successful. And that's why, again, you see that it's paramount at Calvary Chapel. Now, people have asked me, Pastor Mark, do you ever allow the Spirit to move outside of the structure that you have? Well, the first question I would have to that is, do you believe that God can work within a structure? Very obviously, God can. God is a God of order. God can work within a structure. So the Holy Spirit is not limited by structure. But I know what the question is that if God was to move you that we needed to worship a moment longer, or maybe we need to do this or that, are you open to that? Well, I would like to believe so, and I think so, because we do that. There's oftentimes we change the service up, and you don't even know it's been changed. Recently, we added a couple of songs in a service. We may take a song out, whatever the case might be. I may adjust the teaching to some degree, but you don't know that I'm doing that. But we have to be sensitive to the move of the Spirit into what God is doing. But note this, being sensitive to the Spirit does not mean that God can't work within an organized structure. And being sensitive to the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that it gets so emotional and out of control that you don't stay within the pillars that God has given. I'll give you an example. I've heard people say, God moved so much this last Sunday, we never even got to the Bible. That's not God's structure. That's out of order of God's structure. I love emotion as much as anyone else. I love the tinglies. I love it when God pours out his Spirit. I love the way it feels. I love to see people get healed. I love to see get the gifts in operation. I love all that. Don't get me wrong. And there's a place for that. And we, again, another responsibility of the church is to make place for that, which is why we have our afterglows on Wednesdays, et cetera, et cetera. But it should never be to the point to where we allow our emotions and our feelings to overtake the pillars of what God has called the church to be. This is not being critical. This is being educational from the Word of God, that we might grow and that we might conduct ourselves properly. So you're going to see the Word of God being paramount here. And again, this is one of the things that we try to do and that every church should try to do, making the Word of God paramount so that the body of Christ is equipped. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 4? The teaching of the Word is so that the body can be equipped for the work of the ministry. And by the way, it's the Word of God that makes us grow. This is why oftentimes, if you see churches that don't teach the Word of God, you've got a lot of very immature believers. And again, I don't say that in a derogatory way. I'm speaking factually. It's just a fact. I grew up in a denomination where they would read a verse or two, and that was it, the entire service. And then they would talk about just whatever, something good, maybe the latest bumper sticker or whatever that was supposed to inspire somebody in whatever case it might be. But nobody was growing. And so you see that kind of thing where the church is not making an avenue so that they can grow. They can't. The pillar is not in place so that you can do your part and be a part of that pillar and get fed. Okay, and so there has to be growth. You know, it's one thing to see the cuteness of a baby when they talk in those little baby voices and have their first few words. I have my little granddaughter, and my grandson's not really saying words yet, but he's got a lot of cute sounds he's making. But my granddaughter says some of the cutest words, and I love just to hear her say them. It just thrills my heart. It's very exciting. But if I had to go away for about 10 years for some reason, God forbid, then I come back and I see her, if she's still using those same words, we've got a problem, Houston. And how many Christians, after 5, 10, 15 years of going to a church where they hear a verse or two and then somebody talks about being nice, they're still living the same way they did 15 years before. As God wants you to grow. And the only way you're going to grow is the Word of God. The church has to make that available, and then you've got to do it yourself. You know, it's teamwork. God put the pillars in place. We make sure the pillars are there. The first pillar is the teaching of the Word of God. Then your job is to avail that. You need to come and be fed. Make sure that you're getting fed in those teachings. If you're not getting fed and you're not feeding on your own, you're never going to grow. The church should be feeding you. And I love to hear pastors. I get fed as well. But I need to be able to go home and eat. You need to be able to go home and eat. And if you can't go home and pick up the Bible on your own and sit down and read the Word of God, you're not going to grow. And again, I've seen believers that seem to be stuck in kind of this non-growth pattern for years and years and years. You know, a diaper is not so annoying in a baby. It's just that's life. When you run across believers that should not be wearing diapers anymore and you see that their life is in the same mess it was 10 years earlier, tragic. Are you in the Word? Would be my question. Are you praying? Are you serving? Are you seeking God? How can I grow, Lord? And so understand, this pillar is not just so the church functions properly. It's so that we as the church and members of that can grow in the things of God. So again, the word of God is paramount. The word of God has got to be in place. That is the apostles' doctrine and the first foundation. Notice the second foundation, fellowship. Fellowship. The church's responsibility is to make available to you fellowship. Again, your responsibility is to be a part of it. But again, the church's responsibility is fellowship. And I love to see the fellowship that has developed here at Calvary Chapel. Now, again, it's funny. I guess I take you guys for granted when I think about the fellowship. First of all, the word koinonia, it's the word koinonia in the language. It implies intimacy, and it means to share in a common oneness with someone. There's a unity that there's a joy in being together. There's a desire to be together. There's a desire to spend time together. And I guess, like I said, I take this for granted. You guys are so wonderful in this. When church is over, you guys just don't go home. What a blessing. What a blessing that is to me as a pastor. You know why I'm so blessed when you don't go home? Koinonia. You're loving each other. You're having fellowship. You're experiencing fellowship. That's what the church is supposed to be. And if it goes so long, I've seen you guys to where after the church even closes down, you'll move to the parking lot and spend another 2 hours. Praise the Lord for that. Listen, this is what the church is supposed to be. When that pillar is in place, it develops relationships and it develops family and community. That is why I encourage you guys, if you're not involved in a kinship, get involved in a kinship. If you want to lead a kinship, after you've been there for about 6 months or whatever the case might be, you can have one in your home. If you're more of that extrovert, you want to do that, that's great. If you're more of the introvert, I encourage you to go to one to be a part and learn not to be an introvert. Again, the church's job is to, again, make these things available, but also to help you grow. By the way, when we talk about fellowship, you're not going to get much fellowship during the greeting time, all right? As a matter of fact, the greeting time is designed uncomfortableness by your pastor. Your evil pastor, on purpose, wants you to stand up and feel awkward and have to say hi to somebody. Now, some of you don't feel awkward. You're going, oh, I love it. I love it. I can just go for hours just talking. That's great. Praise the Lord. That's that natural thing. But some of you are introverts and you're like, okay, how long does this go on? Hi, how are you? I don't know what to say, right? It's all on purpose. I set you up so bad. And see, I get to run behind the stage every time. I'm just kidding. Why? The Bible says if you're going to have friends, you must first be friendly, which means the Bible's instruction of the body of Christ is don't wait for somebody to come up to you and say hi. Your job is to what? Go to them and say hi. How many times have you heard people say, well, I went to that church and nobody said hi to me? They miss the entire purpose of the church. Now, they may be an unbeliever, and I understand that. But as believers, we should be educated enough to realize, would we go to church? It's not to stand on or wait on somebody to say hi to decide whether the church is friendly or not. It's to be the one that walks up and say, hi, my name is Mark. I'm new here. What's your name? That's my job as a Christian. I'm the one that's supposed to be friendly. And then to hear people say, you know what? I love going to that church because all the newcomers are so friendly. They just say hi, even if you don't know them. It's really amazing, right? Now, I do that tongue-in-cheek, but that's the design of what the church is to be. And developing fellowship does that. The more you hang out, the more you love each other, the more you're at the kinships. Now, look, there's good and bad about a church that grows. Okay, we're a growing church. I get that. I've been in small churches. I've been now in a larger church. I understand that. Smaller church, there's all the benefits. You know everybody. They're just, you know, it's just simple in so many ways and wonderful. But the good thing about a larger church, you can reach a lot more people. There's a lot more that you can get done. So it's a huge blessing of the Lord. But the downside of that is if you don't take action to get involved in fellowship, you're going to get lost in the crowd and you're going to be a little bit lonely. So your job, the church's job is to say, all right, we want to have kinships. We're going to have 4th of July picnic. We're going to do whatever we're going to do. We're going to add these things in for fellowship. But now your job is to go and avail it. Do something with it. I can't make you do that. I can encourage you to do that. You know, it's interesting. We're not building a pavilion because other churches have pavilions. God forbid. It's not just to do that because that's the thing churches do. There's a purposeful reason behind all the things that we do. That pavilion is to develop koinonia. It's going to be a place where people are going to hang out. They're going to play frisbee, football. They're going to be down there at the pavilion with a fireplace, indoor and outdoor. There's a kitchen down there. There's bathrooms. There's going to be church events. There's going to be youth groups outdoor, maybe a Wednesday night outdoor service. It's going to be a place for koinonia and fellowship. That's why it's there. So our job is to make it available. Your job is to do it. Our job is to have a 4th of July picnic. Now, not everybody can come to that. I get that. We're not judging you on that. And maybe you can't. Maybe you don't. There's no problem there. But our job is to create fellowship opportunities. And as we create fellowship opportunities, your job is to avail them. And by the way, one of the fellowship opportunities is to be in fellowship. Sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? You know, as a pastor, they send me these, who does these surveys? I don't know. Well, Barna Group's the one that does them, but how they do them, I don't know how they do them. But they'll send these surveys out saying, you know, at church or whatever, if people in America now, many people in America consider themselves regular churchgoers if they go once a month. Think about that. That's the latest statistic. How many times a year is that? So going 12 times a year makes you a regular church attender? As regular church attender means you go to church on a regular basis. That's what it means. And not to lay some trip on us, like, you know, you have to go to church so many times or whatever the case might be. But we have to make sure that it's a relationship with God. It's an ongoing relationship with others. And if we're not in fellowship, then we can't have the koinonia that God has called the church to have. And that is why this is such an important pillar, to be in that fellowship, to be in that koinonia and say, all right, Lord, you know, I'm going to be there. You've got to avail that. I've got to avail that. But that's the second pillar. We have the word of God and being together in fellowship so that we can love each other and know each other. And by the way, there are many opportunities, women's ministries, men's ministries, kinships, whatever the case might be, to be involved. You just need to do it. Notice next, the third one is in the breaking of bread. This means communion. Now, the word communion means oneness with someone that you know intimately. You're having communion. You know them. They know you. You're interacting back and forth. It represents the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The fact that he died for our sins, rose again, gave his body, gave his blood. And he said, do this as often as you will in remembrance of me, so that we can again honor what he's done for us. And then we love him, although we're reminded of the sacrifice that he made. And we honor him and we love him. And so if you're new to Calvary Chapel, you may not know this. When are our communion times? Well, the first Wednesday of every month and the third Sunday of every month. So there's two different opportunities, the first Wednesday of every month, the first Sunday of every month. And you might be saying, but wait a minute, that's evenings. I come on Sunday morning. Well, let me encourage you. Maybe you might want to come on those Wednesdays or those Sundays or whatever the case might be. I know that everybody can't. I know there's work situations and those kind of things, whatever the case might be. But there's also a purposeful reason that we do it at that time. Now, why would that be? Again, because of those who send out the surveys, they say there's a much larger percentage on Sunday morning of unbelievers than Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And that makes sense. Most unbelievers are not going to go to a Wednesday night or Sunday night because they don't really care. They come to see what's going on Sunday morning. Maybe a friend invited them Sunday morning, but they don't really have a desire for the word of God or the things of God or whatever. So it makes perfect sense. And I'm not judging you if you don't come every Wednesday or Sunday. It's not my point. I'm simply saying, again, the statistics guys say that's how it is. So the Bible says communion is the table of the Lord. It's to have communion with the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you can't have communion with him. That is why we don't do it on Sunday morning. It's not to leave someone out or to exclude someone. It's simply to make it a time when the majority of the body of Christ is coming together so they can truly have communion and have oneness with the Lord. And so that's when we do it. That's when we make it available. Now, your job is to be a part of that. To be here that first Wednesday of every month, to be here that third Sunday of every month, or whatever the case might be, and to avail the opportunity to be a part of the Lord's table and have the Lord's Supper, as we call it, if you will. That's the third pillar, again, that needs to be in place for a successful church. And notice the last one, in prayers. They continue steadfastly in the doctrine. They continue steadfastly in fellowship. They continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. And they continue steadfastly in prayer. So this is another foundational pillar. And by the way, guys, if we're not a praying church, we're not going to be a successful church. And this means the leadership, but it also means you individually.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells the incredible story of how the early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel throughout the world. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries in history, was transformed by God's grace and used mightily to preach the gospel. Yet, Paul constantly reminded believers that everything was done by God's power, not his own. He didn't rely on persuasive words or human wisdom. He simply proclaimed the truth, and the Holy Spirit opened hearts and changed lives. Where do you need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life today? We'd be happy to speak with you or connect with you through our website. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and use our questions and comments link to reach out. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville, And we hope you've been encouraged by this time in the book of Acts. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to have you join us on a Sunday morning. TheWayMedia.net has all the information you need about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Acts here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.